Yes, sir. That's beautiful. How great thou art. What a beautiful time we're having this morning. I'm thinking that it's a beautiful day. I'm thinking that this is the day the Lord has made. I'm thinking we should rejoice and be glad in it because He is a great God. And I just want everybody to know He's got this. Whatever it is, He's got it. It doesn't matter what you're going through right now. He's going to take you through it. He's not going to leave you in it. And we want to talk about the weekend that changed the world. What a beautiful day to celebrate that God is alive, that we don't serve a God that somebody made up in their own mind or somebody that somebody created, but God Himself is alive because the beautiful, beautiful love that God has for us is so amazing. And they say the only word for grace is amazing. And I just believe that this morning. Thank you. Thank you for watching online. Now listen, I want to talk to you about this morning about the weight of the words that Jesus used when He was on the cross and the heavy heart. The weight that came upon Him because He had such a heavy heart. I don't think we could ever, as human beings, comprehend how weighty Jesus' words were. The words of Jesus when He was on the cross. Did you know, listen, you got to go through the cross before you can get to the resurrection. You got to understand that there has to be, somebody has to die in order for something to be resurrected. Jesus went to the cross so that we could have Resurrection Sunday. And it is different. I'm just going to admit to you, it's different up here. Without everybody here, I miss y'all a lot. I miss you. But we're doing the best we can with what we have to work with. And I thank you for being here this morning. It's going to be an amazing, I think, of course I'm preaching it, but I think it's going to be an amazing message. I want you to watch a video for me today. This is a video because there's a lot of people that are having a lot of problems. There's a lot of issues in our world today, financial issues, illness issues. There's families that are together, and sometimes there's issues because we just get familiar with each other. I'm sure you don't know what I'm talking about, but sometimes we just get familiar with each other. But I want you to know today that stress in our world is a real thing. I looked up this past week the most stressful jobs in our world today. The first most stressful job is being in the military. And I don't know if you knew that or not, but a lot of our military, they carry such a weight and such a load on them because life decisions are made every day. And many of our military people, they put their lives on the line perpetually. And so there's a lot of stress with that. Firefighters, there's a lot of stress with being a firefighter and taking care of individuals. Surgeons, can you imagine being a surgeon? I'm sure somebody out there, you're a surgeon and you're like, well, I got this. And I'm like, if I just like cut somebody open and tried to fix, you know, like, that'd be a problem. I'm like, I don't know. I'd be pretty stressed out if I had to do heart surgery on somebody. Because, like, when I get nervous, everybody around me knows I shake a little bit. And you don't want people shaking while you're working on their things inside. It's just not a good thing. Another area of stress is airline pilots. The pilot, they have a couple hundred people in the airplane and all these lives, and there's stress involved with that. And I'm feeling a little bit, I feel a weight this morning on me to bring the Word of God to you. And I know that you have issues in you. I mean, you got to make the mortgage payment. You got to pay for the pickup. There's things in life that just are full of weight, but I want to help you. I want to help you with that today. And there's a video from Joe that comes to church here. And I want you to watch this video right now. I think it'll help you.
Oh, Hi, I'm Joe. Most of you know me from driving you around here back and forth from the parking lot to the church and church to the parking lot. I'd like to tell you a little about my story. First off, I'd like to say he is risen. He is alive. And let me tell you what those words mean to me. I've had Christ out of my life for 50 years. And it's all due to an incident that happened when I was in Vietnam. It happened Easter Sunday night, 1969. We got into a firefight with the Viet Cong, and a good friend of mine died in my arms. And the last words out of his mouth were, "I want my mom." And that just tore me up. Well, the firefight continued for, seemed like forever. I found out where the fire was coming from, and I went and took out the enemy. And it happened to be a 13-year-old boy and his mother, who happened to be 8 months pregnant. I felt bad about taking their lives, but what bothered me the most was taking the life of the unborn child. I couldn't believe that Christ put me in that position. So I held it against him. In 2019, I moved down here in March, and my sister talked me into coming to the service, the Easter Sunday service here. At first I was a little hesitant. I really didn't want to go. To keep her happy, I turned around and says, "All right, I'll go." Well, I got here and I walked into the arena. A lot of people greeting me and thanking me for my service and stuff. And I couldn't believe how friendly they were. And that day, I realized it's time for me to put Christ back in my life. And Pastor Randy, when he had people come up to the altar, first timers, I went up and I spoke with them and told them my story. And we prayed together. And he told me about a program they have here, Hope and Healing for Warriors. They brought peace back into my life because I carried that incident around inside me for 50 years, never told anybody about it. I was away from the Christ for 50 years to the day. In a way, I feel like I was resurrected that day. And that is why I believe in the resurrection.
Can you believe that? My goodness, what a testimony. Can you imagine the weight that came off of Joe when he asked Christ to come into his life? There's a song. I'm standing here with Will, my friend Will. Will is a bodybuilder. But he's a weightlifter, and we got about a little over 300 pounds right here, and I thought it'd be good because there's a song that says, if he carried the weight of the world on his shoulders, I'm sure, my brother, that he can carry you. Now listen, I think, well, I don't know, but I think I could probably pick this up. Can I get you mind if I try? I mean, it's just like, I think it's about, oh, goodness, I don't even know. Maybe I could pick up one end of it. Oh, it's awful heavy. Will, can you pick that up for me? Just see if you can. I don't know. It's just, you got some muscles on you. I can see that. You're pretty gracious. Woo! Man. That's pretty good. Now, I'm going to say you probably couldn't do that like when you was like 12. Mm-mm. No? Well, as you grew and the Lord blessed you, you were just kind of, you just kind of designed to do this. I just think you're just like, you could do that. Like, I'm designed to rope. You're designed to lift weights. And we all have different gifts and when we use them for God. But here's the interesting thing about it. Is that, like, if I was going to lift weights, this would be my deal right here. I'm like, I'm good. But this is you, and everybody carries different weights. Everybody is designed to carry different weights. Like, the president right now, he's got a big weight on his shoulders. Our governor, our lieutenant governor, we have different people in our state, the doctors in our state, they're carrying a lot of weight on them. But I want to say today is the reason we're here today is because we have a God that sent his only son so that he could carry, y'all stay with me, so that he could carry the weight for us. Now, you're pretty strong, Will, but you can't carry that much weight. But thank you for being here. And I appreciate you being able to do that as an illustration for our people today, because we can all carry some weight, but we could never carry the weight of our sin. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Thank you, Will. Yeah, y'all give Will a hand on the computer. Give him a high love. Give him some love. However you do that, do it on the computer. The words of Jesus that he used are amazing words. I want to read to you in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says, for he made him, he meaning God the Father, made him, Jesus the Son, who knew no sin, the Son who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him, in Jesus. God the Father sent his Son so that we could be the righteous, so God the Son would become sin. The impact that Jesus had on the world, the weekend that changed the world, if you will. We're going to get to the resurrection in a minute, but listen, if you want to get through the resurrection, you're going to have to go through the cross. Jesus said this. He said, unless you take up your cross and follow me, you can't be a part of my kingdom. And so what that means is when we go through these issues that our country's going through, when we go through these problems, and we do have a lot of problems, and it is a cross to bear. But listen, God says that he doesn't want us to live our lives in anxiety. He said, if God so clothes the lilies of the field, how much more will he take care of you? Then he said this, oh, you of little faith. He said that God even knows the hairs in your head. For me, he don't have a problem counting my hairs in my head because it's not that much. But some people, there's just a lot of hair, but God knows. He said a sparrow doesn't fall to the ground except he knows that. So today, I want you to put your faith and your confidence in him. Even though you are bearing a cross, Jesus will not put any more on us than we're able to handle because he is going to take the part. You do your part, and he'll do his. Despite the evidence to the contrary, there are people who still insist that Jesus is a myth. But myths have little, if any, impact on history. The history of the world is but the biography of great men. Thomas Carlyle said that. He said that the history of the world is but the biography of great men. So why was it? Why is this the weekend that changed the entire world? Why is this the weekend that changed your life? You see, there is no nation, there's no regime, which owes its foundation or heritage to a mythological person or God. What has been the impact of Jesus Christ? The average Roman citizen didn't feel his impact until many years after his death. Jesus, he marshaled no army. He wrote no books and changed no laws. The Jewish leaders, the Roman Caesars, had hoped to wipe out his memory, and it appeared that they would succeed. But now, the only reason they are noted as individuals is a result of their affiliation with Jesus. The ones who tried to do away with him, nobody would even know them today if it wasn't for Jesus. Today, we see the ancient Rome in ruins. Caesar's mighty legions and the pomp of the Roman imperial power have faded into oblivion. Yet, how is Jesus remembered today? What is Jesus' enduring influence? You see, Jesus said something, and I thought this was interesting, because to me, I believe that Jesus was the most selfless individual to ever walk on the face of this earth. In fact, he said this. He said, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. He didn't come to glorify himself. And you can look through this, through the week of Jesus' trials and everything that he went through. He always honored God. He always honored people. However, more books have been written about Jesus than any other person in history. Part of why this is the weekend to change the world. Nations have used his words as the bedrock of their governments. According to Durant, the triumph of Christ was the beginning of democracy. You see, the Bible has been and will be the best-selling book in all history. Why? Because it is the truth. And the truth, you know what I'm fixing to say, set you free. So his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount established a new paradigm in ethics and morals. Schools, hospitals, and humanitarian works have been founded in his name or the names of his followers. Over 100 great universities, including Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Dartmouth, Columbia, and Oxford, were begun by his followers. The elevated role of women in Western culture traces its roots back to Jesus. Women in Jesus' day, they were considered inferior and virtual non-persons until his teaching was followed and adopted. You see, slavery was abolished in Britain and America due to Jesus' teaching that each human life has equal value. When the Holy Spirit began to convict Christian men who had slaves, they had to yield to the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus changed the world. Amazingly, Jesus made all of this impact as a result, and he has left the greatest legacy in history. And his name stands the test of time. Yale historian said this. He said, regardless of what anyone may personally think or believe about him, Jesus of Nazareth has been the dominant figure in history of Western culture for almost 20 centuries. Who, in your estimation, could ever be compared with Jesus? You see, it is from his birth that most of the human race dates its calendars. It's by his name that millions, listen to this, millions still curse his name. They don't say, oh, Buddha, oh, Muhammad. No, they don't curse his name. But did you know when you say the name of God and the name of Jesus in vain, that you are perpetuating, if you're an atheist or you're an agnostic, you are still perpetuating the name of Jesus. Why? Because he's God, and we all have to deal with God because we believe and we know that there is God, but just by cursing his name, you're acknowledging that he exists. That's pretty good. I thought that's pretty good. Someone said this. They made this statement. They said that actions speak louder than words. And we all say that. Well, actions speak louder. Well, I was thinking about that this past week, and I don't think that's true. I don't think that. I think actions speak probably as loud as words, but words, My goodness, you think about your words. Words can build somebody up. Words can help you. Words can make a difference in your life. Words are important. And I want to talk to you in this brief time that I have left about the words that Jesus used when he was on the cross. When Jesus stood before Pilate, Jesus said this. Before he went to Pilate, he said, the reason I was born and came into this world is to testify, stay with me, to testify to the truth. And I would just submit to you today that the reason that you're here, the reason that you're watching online on this Easter celebration, on this Resurrection Sunday, is because you want to know what the truth is. There's a lot of truth seekers out here. Jesus said the reason. Everybody say the reason. Say the reason. I can't hear you. Oh, you're online. I forgot. The reason I was born and came into this world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side, they stay with me, everyone on the side of the truth listens to me. My question to you is, what side are you on? Everybody on the side of the truth listens to Jesus. It's good. It's good stuff. When Jesus stood before Pilate, he said this, he said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight and prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place. Pilate said this, he said, you are a king then, said Pilate. And Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into this world is to testify to the truth. And everyone on the side of the truth listens to me. And listen to what Pilate said. Stay with me. Listen to what Pilate said. He said, what is the truth? Retorted Pilate. With this, he went out and again to the Jews gathered there and said, I find no basis for a charge against him. Pilate said, what is the truth? And then he walked away from Jesus. Do you want to know the truth? If you want to know the truth, you have to know the author of the truth. Jesus came to give you the truth. You see, Pilate, in his arrogance, he decided that he didn't really need to stick around because he was too busy. And in our culture today, we have, with this virus, we've been taught that we got to slow down. And we can't be just running all over the place, but we've got to slow down. And if there's one good thing that has come from this, we have come together more as a family, but we've been able to introspect and spend more time with God. I would just humbly submit to you today that if you want to know the truth and you say, what is the truth? You have to stick around Jesus long enough to listen to him. We must be intentional with the truth and listen to Jesus if we are to be good stewards of the truth. And then Pilate said he didn't find no charge against him, but it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at a time. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews? And they shouted back, no, give us Barabbas. Now, Barabbas had taken part in the uprising. The next chapter in John chapter 19, verse 30, it says, later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it and put the sponge on a stalk of hyssop plant and lifted up to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished, without he bowed his head. Again, the reason that Jesus was born, came into this world, so that everyone on the side of truth would listen to him. Words from a dying man. Words from a dying man can be fearful, resentful, and senile, but rarely confident. These words from his lips were confident. The first thing that Jesus said when he was on the cross, listen to this. He said, the first thing he said was, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He was thinking about the people that was hanging him on the cross instead of saying, God, you get them. You tear them up. Just get a hold of them. No, he said, Father, forgive them. I want you to hear the heart of Jesus. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Have you ever been around somebody that did something wrong against you and you were just like, what goes around comes around, and I just hope you get what comes around to you. That wasn't the way Jesus said. By the way, I hate that saying, what goes around comes around. But what Jesus said is, Father, forgive them. I would just challenge you today to have the heart of Jesus and say, Father, forgive them. They really don't know what they're doing. And love them the way Jesus loved them. What a great gift. The second thing that he said, I tell you the truth today, talking to the, talking to the thief on one side of him, he said, today, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. This statement really messes with religious people. Because Jesus said this to the thief on the cross, today you're going to be with me. Now, he didn't have to jump through any hoops. He didn't have to do so much work for the church. He didn't have to, he wasn't even baptized. That's going to mess with everybody. But I'm going to tell you something. When Jesus forgives you, God saw a repentant heart in this thief. And he said, today you will be with me in paradise. My challenge to you today is to stop judging people and start loving them the way Jesus loved them, because the thief had a problem, but he had a repentant heart. And everybody around you has a problem, and I might even tell you a little secret, you got a problem too. They don't make people without problems, but that's the reason that Jesus came, is so that he could carry the weight of the world on his shoulders. He said, today you'll be with me in paradise. The third thing, I loved this one. He said to John, dear woman, he said to his mother, dear woman, here is your son. And the disciple, here is your mother. From that time on, this disciple, it was John, took her into his home. When Jesus was in a lot of pain, he wanted the family to be together, and he wanted his mama to be taken care of. Let me tell you something. In this world where families get torn apart, where there's a lot of divorce, there's a lot of turmoil, there's a lot of dissension between children and between parents, God wants people to come together, and he wants you to be taken care of. He wants you children to take care of your mom and your daddy. He wants you mom and daddy to take care of your children. He wants us to love each other the way that he loves us. And when Jesus was on the cross, he's like, I'm not going to forget my mama. I like that. Family is still the most powerful structure in America. And if the devil can do one thing, he wants to tear up the family. My goodness, you need to be the glue in the family, because Jesus died so that you could have peace in your family. The fourth thing that he said was, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now listen, these first three, Jesus was talking about to help people. And then in this one, he says, my God, he's feeling forsaken, because you remember the scripture we read in Corinthians where it says that he who knew no sin became sin. He was feeling the weight of the world, the weight of my sin, the weight of your sin on him. And he was being forsaken by God. Billy Graham put it this way: when Jesus died on the cross, all our sins without exception were transferred to him. He was without sin, and he was God in human flesh. But as he died, all of our sins placed on him, and he became the final and complete sacrifice for our sins. And in that moment, he was banished from the presence of God. For sin, listen, sin cannot exist in God's presence. His cry speaks of the truth. He endured the separation from God that you and I deserve. Because make no mistake, when we sin, sin separates us from God. But the sacrifice of Jesus gives us access to him. I don't know how you can sit so still when I'm telling you something so good. It's good stuff. This is profound truth. And yet it also should bring great comfort to us because Christ died for us. We don't have to fear death anymore. We don't have to fear the virus. We don't have to fear the situations in our lives because God's love is going to help us and give us wisdom to get through all of these. For Christ died for sins once for all. 1 Peter 3:18, the righteousness for the unrighteous to bring you to God. What a gift. My God, my God. It may involve pain. Your cross may involve pain, but in the end, we wind up in his presence. Somebody wrote a song one time. They said, if heaven was never promised to me, neither God's promise to live eternally, it's been worth just having the Lord in my life. Let me just ask you a question right now. If heaven wasn't promised to you, do you serve God just so you can go to heaven? Or do you serve God because you love him, because you realize that he made this sacrifice? Are you going to heaven so you can see Jesus, or are you going to go to heaven so you can stay out of hell? My goodness, let's think about all through this week the sacrifice that Jesus made, and his only motivation was you. He looked into your eyes and he said, I'm doing this for you, because I love you, and this is going to be temporary for me, and eternity is permanent for you. So the other thing he said, the fifth thing he said, later knowing that it was now completed and the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. He said, I'm thirsty. Here's Jesus that told the woman at the well, if you drink from the water that I give you, you'll never be thirsty again. You drink from this well, you'll be thirsty. Why was Jesus thirsty? And this just came to me last night. And you might, this is just Randy talking, so if you don't buy into it, I'm not going to be offended. But it occurred to me last night that part of the reason that Jesus said that he was thirsty was because he had begun to take on the sins of us, and the well of water that was inside of him, the life was leaving him, and he was becoming sin. And he said, I am thirsty. And what I believe he's saying, I'm thirsty for the real living water, because I am the living water, and the living water is leaving me. Can you imagine how Jesus felt when he said, I'm thirsty? I gotta move on. Then when he'd received the drink, they didn't give him water, they gave him vinegar. But verse 30 says, when he'd received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. What was finished? I'm glad you asked that question. The malice of his enemies was finished. The earthly suffering of Christ was finished. All of the Old Testament prophecies were finished. The ceremonial law was finished. The earthly life was finished. The work of redemption was finished. The price of sin was paid in full. I don't know if you're going to get a check from the government or not, but I dare say it's not going to pay all your bills. I wish it would, but it's probably not going to. But what I want to say is that when Jesus died on the cross, he paid the full penalty for your sins. And let me tell you something, that's better than a government bailout, because that's an eternal gift that God gave when we accept him as our Savior. They're just like Joe in the video, all the weight of the world came off of Joe because it was put on the back of Jesus when he was hanging on the cross. Jesus said, it is finished. Let me tell you something. We have a lot of people that come down and give their heart to the Lord, but not everybody sticks around. Do you know why? Because a lot of times people start things, but they don't finish. They start a relationship with God, but they don't finish. They start a relationship with their wife or with their husband, but they don't finish. They start a job, but they don't finish. You see, anybody can start a church. Anybody can start anything. God's looking for somebody that will finish. At the end of the day, whenever we lay down on our bed and we breathe our last breath, we can say, it is finished, that I did what I came to do. And then the last saying of Jesus, he said, Father, don't you love that? Don't you love that? He knew he was still his Father, even though God, Jesus in the flesh, God became sin. He knew that God had not really forsaken him. He said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. So my challenge to you today is, whose hands are you in today? There's a story told of a Muslim young man that had given his heart to the Lord. And one of his friends asked him, he said, well, why did you do that? And he said, it's like this. He said, if I was going on a journey and I came to a fork in the road and I needed directions for my journey. And I came up to two men. One was living and one was dead. And he asked the young man, he said, if one was living and one was dead, who would you ask directions from? That's my question to you today. Who will you ask directions from? You see, there's a lot of man-made religions, but there's only one true and living God. There's only one Jesus who sacrificed his life, and he rose again on the third day. That's why this is the weekend that changed the entire world forever, because God became flesh, and he dwelt among men, and he gave his life. The one who knew no sin became sin so that we might have eternal life. I got to tell you this story. I've told some of y'all might have heard this before, but it's just too good to pass up. We had a cat one time at the house, and he was his mama wasn't a very nice mama, and this little cat, we had to take care of him. Shiloh fed him with the little milk bottle, and we didn't think he was going to live, so we named him Justin Casey. Justin Casey. And the reason we called him Justin Casey was just in case he lived, because we wasn't sure he's going to live. So we kind of like to soften the blow on the cat if he died. Does that make sense? Just in case he lives. So Justin, he was we liked him for a while, my kids and daughter always liked him. I'm not a cat man. I mean, don't put little angry faces on your computer, because I'm not a cat man. But it's a reality. I'm not influenced by your emoji. But Justin, he got kind of like he got a little bit mean, and I came in one day and Justin had thrown, he threw up on the tile floor, and I walked into the kitchen, and when Justin saw me walk in, he started doing this. And on the tile floor, he's trying to cover up his throw up on the tile floor, and I'm like, you're an idiot. You're just an idiot cat. Why? He couldn't cover up his throw up. He couldn't do it. Why? He didn't have the ability. My goodness, how many people in our world today, they try to cover up their own sin. They try, no, oh, I hope nobody saw that. Or if I do it at dark and at nighttime, nobody will see it. It doesn't harm anybody. I'm not hurting anybody. And we try to cover up, and we're like, and God's looking up, looking down at us, and it's kind of like Justin Casey. We're like, Jesus says, he says, I came so that you might have life. He said, if you confess your sin, that he would be faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You're not strong enough. You can't lift this weight of your sin. You weren't designed, no more than I could pick up that weight right there. I couldn't pick it up because I wasn't designed to pick it up. You weren't designed to take your own sin away. You can try it just like I tried to pick up that weight. It won't work. You're not that good. You're not that strong. I'm not that good. I'm not that strong. But God, in his infinite wisdom, in the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son so that you might have eternal life, so that God could pick up the weight of the world, the sin that you and I carry in our lives, and he could say, you can be free. Just like Joe in his testimony, after 50 years, was free from the weight of the sin in his life, and now he drives a golf cart on church on Sunday morning, and he's at peace with his life. Listen, it's all because of Jesus. I just want to challenge you today. If you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, the greatest gift that you'll ever have in your life, it comes from words. It doesn't come from actions. It comes from words. The Bible says if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead. See, y'all with me? Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. But you see, you have to humble yourself. You have to get to the place where you know you're not that good. You know you can't do works enough to get good. Well, I'm a good man, I'm a good. No, you're not that good. You're not that good. Only God is that good. You need a Savior. So what I want to do, I want to help you pray. If you've never accepted, and I just challenge you, everybody, wherever you're at, if you're with a group of people or with your family or if you're by yourself, I just would invite you right now just to bow your head with me, and I'd invite you to pray this prayer with me and repeat after me. If you need Jesus in your life or if you've already accepted him, to help those around you that have not ever accepted Christ. This could be a Resurrection Sunday for you today. So let's pray this prayer. Just repeat after me. Say, dear Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Lord, I am a sinner. Please forgive me. I invite you into my heart. I invite you into my life. From this day forward, I give my life to you. Help me to read my Bible, to pray, show up for church, and get baptized. I love you, Jesus. Teach me to love you more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, according to the Word of God, if you prayed that prayer with your mouth and you believed it in your heart, you are a born-again believer. Your destiny is heaven. But I want to say this to you. If we love God, we will want to please him. What that means is that Jesus said, I am the truth. And if you want to know the truth, you have to love the truth. You have to love Jesus. And because Jesus has the answers and all of the truth, that's why we have church. That's why we read our Bibles every day. That's the reason we go to prayer every day. Because Jesus is the truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. That's the reason. This is the weekend that changed the world. Thank you so much for watching today. We're going to have church again next Sunday. But let me tell you something. If you received Christ as your personal Savior, there's a button or something you can push down there, and you can fill out a little form there. And we would love to send you a Bible. And so just do that, and we'd love to hear back from you. And we just pray that God will bless you. Let me pray for you before we leave. Lord, we pray your blessings upon your people. upon your church that's scattered out throughout all of our communities, throughout the world, oh God. We pray that your word would sink down deep into our hearts, that we might not sin against you, that we won't hurt you anymore with the sin, that we won't put you back on the cross in our lives when we sin, oh God, but we would let you be seated at the right hand of the throne of God and make intercession for us, Lord. Help us to live overcoming Christian lives because we love you and because you're alive today. We are alive, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless y'all. We love you so much. You have a great day and a great week. God bless you.